I used to shoot a lot of film growing up, and I would shoot and develop my own black and whites. So I kind of had a soft spot for it from then. I just love the like rawness of it, and just it's just only light, you know, not like the only thing you can really read is the light. There's no colors to make you feel a certain way. Black and white for me just like simplifies it a lot.
Skateboarding has been a passion of mine since I was a young kid. Just like our guest today, I grew up reading Thrasher magazine and being fascinated by the crazy, distorted fisheye photos. One of the first accessories I got for my camera was a screw-on fisheye adapter for my 18-55 kit lens. And to this day, the gritty aesthetic of skateboarding and skate photography still holds a special place in my heart and impacts my work as a wedding and commercial videographer. On today's episode, I'm sitting down with Kingsley Atwood, a skate photographer based in Tāmaki, Makaurau, to talk about his work, the importance of storytelling, how to get your photos in a magazine, and what we can all learn from the dynamic, gritty, and distorted aesthetic of skate photography.
I kind of started, I'd say around like 14 or just like going into year 10 at high school. Jumped into a photography class, didn't own a camera, picked up a camera fairly cheap, and then kind of was all downhill from there. And I was just skating like every weekend with my friends and stuff anyway. So I took the camera out while I was skating, and then almost like learned to shoot photos while on a session, I guess you could say. I just like pull the camera out, yep, and just muck around with settings and try to get timing down and see what white balance did. See what exposure, yep, you know, shutter speeds and shooting at different apertures was doing, and even like different ISOs or different lenses, what would affect it. So I kind of just jumped in like pretty late on, I'd say, you know, mid-teens for just photography class, and then was hooked.
Was it just skating that you mainly focused your photography on? Was there any other aspects? Because I know you do a lot of like portraits and stuff as well as part of your work. Did that come in later, or was photographing people all wrapped up in the whole skate photography as well?
It kind of like went hand in hand almost. Like I would shoot, say if I was shooting like a skate photo, I would almost like set myself, like get a portrait after they land it to capture that moment and, you know, just look back on. But then I found like I really enjoyed shooting portraits anyway, and it just like took off from that, kind of made me more interested in shooting people. And, you know, I really like the compression that lenses have when someone's real close and the background's all blurry and stuff like that, and you can't always get that from a skate photo, so I'd, you know, want to shoot that portrait at the same time. But yeah, as soon as someone like landed a trick, I'd like capture their excitement like with a portrait, whether that would be set up or just in the moment candid type of vibe.
As you started to develop and you got sort of the basics down, you started, I guess, looking for like creative and style inspiration. Where did you sort of look to, you know, was it just like skate magazines and skate photographers, or were you looking a little broader? Like where did you start to pick up your inspiration to sort of land on your exact style?
I'd kind of just like at the start, I would just go on YouTube and just kind of Google, like YouTube anything on how to use the camera. I found that there was like a skate channel doing some tutorials that were just based on skate photography in general. So I'd watch those, and then obviously magazines. I used to have a subscription to Thrasher that would come every month, so I'd be looking at that. There'll be a couple local ones here that I would have in the school library, so I'd be, you know, looking through those and just seeing what I liked and whatnot. It wasn't until I went to uni that I started looking a little deeper into things and like going through fashion magazines and fashion books and looking into photographers that were more, I don't know, more into like portraits and lifestyle imagery rather than just solidly skateboarding. And then I found this one dude, Jean-Louis Psieff, and just fell in love with his black and white work and was like, I want to do that. And just kind of took a lot of inspiration from what he was doing mixed with what I'd already kind of been doing. And I guess that's how I set on my own style. I feel like it changes every now and again, but
Everyone does.
I drew a lot of inspiration from that photographer in general.
Yeah. Well, let's transition now into your black and whites, because you do a lot of black and white, and not every photographer does. So what about black and white photography do you love? Like, what is it about a black and white photo that you love?
I used to shoot a lot of film growing up, and I would shoot and develop my own black and whites. So I kind of had a soft spot for it from then, shooting a lot of 120, heaps of 35 mil black and white film. I just love the like rawness of it, and just, it's just only light, you know, not like the only thing you can really read is the light. There's no colors to make you feel a certain way. So I like how that translates into the photo, and then just like, the rawness, grittiness, especially if you're shooting like a high ISO, you get that real grainy texture. And nowadays in Photoshop, you can almost like mimic what a 120 film or 35 millimeter film would look like. So I just take a, try to make it look as filmy as possible when I'm shooting my black and whites, and the contrast as well.
Do you feel like there's something in black and white photography, because it's you're taking one extra element out of the picture, you're taking color out of the picture, and whenever you add constraints, you add creativity. So is there something in like practicing black and white photography that improves you as an overall photographer when you go back to shooting color?
I almost find shooting black and white a little easier, to be honest, because I struggle with like color correction in Photoshop, and I always have. So black and white for me just like simplifies it a lot. But I guess it does translate. Like I use, when I was shooting with the R6 at the Bowl Jam, I had my the screen set to black and white.
The live view.
Just shooting purely black and white, just focusing on the light that day. And then ended up editing most of the photos in black and white anyway. But I really liked that with the R6. Like, that was cool. I could see in black and white what I was shooting. But I guess it does translate a little bit into the color stuff, like just in terms of the way that I look at the light, it just simplifies it for me when I'm shooting.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, is that it just, it simplifies the frame that you're looking at and does make you think about the light. And I guess even if it's a subconscious thing, like the more you are aware of the light, the more you'll just get used to seeing good light and seeing how light affects people and your subject and stuff. It's really interesting. Actually, I did see you with the live view set up in black and white on the day, which looked pretty cool. It's a cool way to just get a different perspective in the moment as you're shooting. Just because obviously we don't see in black and white.
But, having that setting as well almost like added a bit more excitement to the to like using the I've never used the digital viewfinder before, and like the fact that I found out you could turn it into black and white, I was pretty stoked. So it was like added a little bit more fun to shooting it as well.
Skate photography is one of those genres that has a lot of tropes, a lot of quote unquote rules. What of those tropes, of those rules in skate photography do you try to stick to, and which sort of skate photography tropes do you sort of try and steer away from to to distinguish your own style?
I guess like the one rule like I kind of always keep in mind is that I said it in the video from the day, is like keep it in mind, like it's got to be like a story, so you need to like show the entire scene so it's read easily, so like a takeoff, the trick itself, and then the landing. So you're not like, I try to keep those three elements in mind when I'm always shooting. You don't want to cut off the landing out of frame, and then there could be something kind of that adds an extra, I don't know, gnarliness to the spot in that little extra bit of frame. And then stuff that I try to steer away from or that break the rules on, I like stitching photos together. I think that's pretty, like, you can mess things up pretty easily, but when it works, it really works.
Like when you do like a burst frame or like multiple exposures from different times?
So
from like different
almost tips. Like I'll use a telephoto lens, shoot like say this half of the, if my screen is the frame, I'll shoot like one frame, two frame, three frame, four, and then stitch them all together in Photoshop. And then it almost mimics.
What's it called? Brenzium method? Is that what it's called? I'm not
too sure, but
it almost
recreates.
It's got some name like that where, you do like stitch multiple telephotos and you get like a, almost like a medium format sort of style.
Yeah, it recreates that compression. Yeah.
From stitching all those telephoto shots together. Yeah, yeah. It's a cool.
Yeah, effect. Like even when it's not seamless, it looks cool. Like when you can see almost like the vignetting of the edges, or you know, the contrast between frames if you're shooting at different exposures. I think that looks pretty cool as well, but creating that seamless one is when it works, it looks perfect. Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah But that's something, the imperfectness is there's a bit of wiggle room in the world of skate photography, because like skate culture likes a grittiness, it likes a rawness, so you can get away from the perfectness. And I like, because I'm thinking about like photo layouts and Thrasher and stuff, and they're often like all like sort of off center, and they've got like multiple shots like not perfectly all aligned, like all sort of like jumbled next to each other, and you can get a bit kind of, you know, scrapbooky with it, and it all kind of fits the aesthetic.
You can almost like hack it out with scissors and just glue everything back.
Exactly. Yeah. Almost like the you know, like a 35mm like proof sheet that's just been like chopped up and scribbled on and like just chucked on a light table or something.
Yeah. And even that in itself would be a cool thing to look at.
Yeah, exactly. And so I guess there's one element that we talked about a bit in the video, but it'd be good to sort of bring up here on the podcast for anyone who hasn't seen the video content we did with you. But the element of the fisheye lens in skate photography, because just going back to what you were saying around like the storytelling element, because I think the sort of it all kind of makes sense when you think about like why fisheyes are used in skate photography, because like something like lens like that does allow you to like have your subject like large in the frame, but then also have like the beginning of the spot, you know, like their takeoff and then the end of the spot, their landing in the frame as well. Sort of like shrunk down so you can still see it.
Like it's wide enough to kind of capture whole scene.
Yeah. It's an interesting lens. And when you think about it from that storytelling perspective, I think is my point there, because like,
being like, so wide, it kind of just grabs everything. So you can almost be like, you can almost be messy with that lens and not compose, you know, 100%, because you can, it's so wide. So even if you're inches away from the skateboard, you can still see takeoff, the trick itself, and the landing. And it being the closer you are, the more distorted everything is, the more crazy it looks, the more interesting it is to the viewer. I love that lens, and you know, not a perfect lens for everyone. I don't think someone would enjoy their wedding photos being taken on it. But
well, I mean, look, you know, who knows? But it's the kind of thing that I think it's such an interesting and unique lens that is so comfortable in the world of skating. I think it's something that people can learn from it, looking at and breaking down how skate photographers use that lens and what it can do in regards to like storytelling and like showing your subject and the environment they're in.
I've seen it used a couple times in surf photography, especially like with the underwater housing and stuff, and like being able to be so close and you still get that like submerged like piece of the frame and then the surfer itself. Or I've seen it in car photography as well, and just being super close to it and there's all the movement, and like that looks crazy cool as well. It's pretty versatile. I think it works real well in sports, but then also portraits, like all those old hip-hop covers and from the 90s with like the Hasselblad and the big old fisheye, like those look, I almost have that same aesthetic as skating. Like, you know, it's a little dirty, some distorted.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, it
brings that viewer.
It definitely had a heyday in in the 90s for sure around hip hop and stuff. And I think because the 90s and the early noughts are so like on trend at the moment, I feel like the fisheye is due to just like have an absolute resurgence. It's a fantastic lens.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it. It's a go-to. It's always in the bag.
Talking about other types of gear now, as we transition into like talking about how you actually do what you do, how you like what's involved, the logistics of you going out on a skate mission to take some photos. Let's just segue straight into the rest of your gear and then we can go from there. So what do you bring on a skate mission?
Being out and about most of the time, like we don't always have a car, or we might be in the middle of the city and not have access to parking or whatnot. So you want to keep it pretty tight. You don't want to be carrying around 30 kgs worth of gear all day and, you know, come home and barely be able to walk the next day. So I try to keep it pretty lightweight, just as easy as it can get off my back and get my gear set up. But I take with me on every single session, I take the same setup. Take my body being the 5D, I take the 85, the 50, and the fisheye, and then three off-camera speed lights and triggers, just if I need them, if it's a dark spot. I'll always carry the flashes. Those hypersync as well, so you can shoot at like a 1/1000th of a second and have flashes, so you're not risking any, you know, blurriness coming to the...
So that's
pretty much what I take every single day, and then I strap two light stands to my back and then just use one of those tiny little like mini tripods for the third flash, just keep everything nice and lightweight.
It's often a juggle, like balancing, like you want to bring as much gear as, you know, all the options in the world, but at the end of the day you need to, like for you, especially if you're like actually on your board as well, like skating from spot to spot, you can only take so much.
Yeah. And if you, you've probably seen videos of people like hitting rocks and going over the front, or maybe haven't done it yourself. Yeah. But
I've done it myself. Yeah.
If you've got 20 plus kgs on your back and you hit a rock, you can't stop. You can't run out of it. So it's, you don't want to risk breaking your gear as well. So there's that too.
So into the actual, the day itself. So how does it sort of go down for you in terms of like, okay, you've got your gear, you've got your board, you know, you've got your crew. What's involved with you guys going out and getting some photos?
It'll either go like one or two ways. Like, it'll either be just like a spontaneous, everyone meets up at skate park or meets up and has breakfast, and then we'll kind of like sit around and discuss like, do you want to get any photos at this spot? Do you want to go to this spot? We can check out this place. And then it'll just, you know, be spontaneous and happen. Or it'll be like a pre-planned thing to where, you know, someone hits me up and says like, hey, I've got this in mind. A filmer will come along as well. And then we'll go out on that day just to get that one trick and one photo. So like it's either one of the two, and sometimes the spontaneous one can be way better than the planned one, and sometimes the spontaneous one just doesn't work at all. You know, we'll be spending a couple hours at the skate park just trapped at the skate park. But that'll pretty much be the how it kind of happens. Just all link up in the morning, get coffee, discuss what people want to skate, and then go from there. Or The pre-planned one's kind of nice sometimes, because you can say, if you know the spot, I can spend a little longer in my head planning how I want the photo to look, or how am I going to light it if, you know, it's dark, or what time would be the best time to go there? Like would it be better at sunset when it's, you know, the light's low and just heaps of contrast in the shadows, or would it be better early morning or midday? So I do like both, but pre-planning can almost make for a better photo sometimes, unless you get real lucky.
What's the balance like between, because for a lot of photographers, like the location scouting and the planning and the like going, figuring out where you're going to photograph is all part of it. Whereas for you, it sounds like it's like sometimes it's coming from you and sometimes it's coming from the skater. So how do you balance, I guess, the like creative aspect of thinking about a spot in terms of how it's going to photograph versus how it's going to skate?
I think we're pretty lucky here in New Zealand with, like, there's a lot of landscapes involved with all the photos, but it is that tough balance. Like, it comes down to the trick a lot of the time. And depending on which stance the skater is. So like if they're regular or goofy, it just depends on which foot they have forward. So like it could look awesome if they were regular and they're facing me, but if they're goofy and they're facing, you know, their backs to me, it can look awful. And then just the trick itself as well, that changes the photo a lot too. Like, say if he's doing a trick that's a 180 and I can get it, you know, sideways, show the spot off a little bit more. If he's doing a trick that's a straight, just going straight, affects the photo too. But in terms of the spot, I try to look for stuff that's, you know, if it's shooting color, nice and bright and colorful, where I can shoot it from that makes it different, clean background as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can get lucky and some spots can be, you know, picture perfect to say, or you can get some duds where there's, you know, just heaps of trees in the background or there's cars everywhere. Or, you know. So it is a bit of it's a battle sometimes, for sure.
Do you have any sort of, I guess, like go-to tricks to pretty up a spot or make a spot work? Have you had to, like, you know, do anything to tweak your surroundings for a shot?
I've definitely gone to a spot with someone before and then they've said they wanted to do one trick and I've told them no because it looks bad, but yeah. And they've got a different trick. But I kind of just let the skater go wilder with it because, you know, they're the one, you know, jumping down the set or jumping down a handrail or, you know, putting their carcass on the line. So I just kind of let them go into it, but most of the time they'll warm up doing, you know, either like a basic trick, just like an ollie down the set or a 50 down the rail, and then I can kind of like set my lighting up and test everything with that warm-up trick, which is nice. Don't have to worry.
Yeah. And how long would it usually take you to get a photo?
It can be hours, or it can be minutes, it can be hours, it could be, you know, multiple times going back to the same spot, different days. On average, we'll probably sit there for at least 3 hours, 2 or 3 hours. Maybe not shooting the whole time, but a good hour shooting for sure. And then if he lands it or if he doesn't land it, we'll go back the next day or the following weekend and it'll be a bit of a mission. But as to the fun.
In terms of skate photography as a career, photographers from all different disciplines have their own stories around how they like networked and got their way in and stuff. So how do you sort of, how did you get your foot in the door and how do you today stay connected in the industry?
I kind of got my foot in the door from, I guess, just annoyingly emailing lots. I'd go out, you know, shoot a photo or multiple photos on a weekend, come home Sunday night and just submit to the magazine, you know, 5 or 10 photos. For the first, I'd say, year, they were turning them down, and then shot one, say, like half decent photo, and that got run, and then I just kept like asking for pointers and, hey, what can I do to help out, what can I do different on this photo, can you give me any tips on gear? And then I kind of was just like that annoying dude that would, you know, always pop up on the inbox, and then just go to skate competitions, meet a lot of people, just try shoot as many people as I could at the time. Like, there was a few New Zealand brands too that were running around when I like first started shooting photos, so I'd just try message them on Instagram or Facebook and be like, hey, do you guys want some photos? I'm learning, I'm do it for free, you know, and see what we can do with the photos when it comes time. But yeah, I was just that annoying kid who was on the emails too much and was submitting way too many photos probably.
Do you need to, I guess, keep up your networking with at brands and magazines, but also I imagine you would have to keep up your networking and your connection with skaters as well? Because I imagine, you know, like skaters would have their preferred photographers. Does it matter in terms of magazines, like who, like the variety of people that you're shooting? Do they want you to be shooting lots of different lots of different skaters? What's the sort of balance you strike there?
It's a bit of both. Like sometimes, you know, you get approached for an event and you'll be shooting people you've never shot before, or which is like a good way to meet people. It's just like go to lots of events and, you know, skating is such a small world. They've probably seen your photos before and you can always just hit them up and be like, hey, do you want to shoot something? I did get a couple, like, I guess you could say like assignments to go shoot people when I was first starting out. They'll be like, hey, I'll put you in contact with this guy. I'm not in town this week, so you can go and shoot him. But at the moment, most of the people I'm shooting have been just my friends from when I started. And, you know, I've traveled a lot with those dudes and they're just like my best friends anyway. So we go out and skate most weekends and then I just bring the camera along and they're gnarly enough to be getting photos in the magazine. So it helps me and it helps them at the same time too. But I mean, you know, they're my friends. So I just keep that relationship going. In terms of brands and stuff, I mean, you can definitely approach people, send emails, hit people up on Instagram. Instagram seems to be the best networking platform right now, I'd say. And then just emailing off your work and, you know, making sure you've got a good portfolio behind you, nice and clean.
Do you have any other sort of advice for people who are interested in getting into skate photography? Like where to start?
Probably the best way is honestly shooting a skate comp is good because, you know, there's lots of tricks going. As much as it's not the most fun, like if you're just starting out and you're not in front of the ball with fisheye, or you know, you haven't got your like everything down pat, it's like the best way because there's so many tricks going down. So you get a lot of opportunities to get used to timing, get used to lighting. And it's also kind of like being so busy, it's a good way to learn how to frame stuff because there's a lot of people. So you kind of almost like, that's how I learned, was just like learning how to frame stuff in such a busy atmosphere that makes for a clean photo. Because then you can transition that into, you know, when you're just out on the session with one or two dudes and say if the background's just covered in windows or, you know, trees, as like I was saying before, you almost learn from that skate park session how to frame something up a little bit cleaner to the eye, I guess you could say. But like that's a good way to learn. Otherwise, just YouTube has endless loopholes and rabbit holes of tutorial videos, how to use cameras. There's a really good skateboarding like how to with using a fisheye flashes and stuff that I learned. I'm not sure if it's still on YouTube, but you could probably find it if you dug into the archives enough. And then emailing other photographers was a big one when I started. Magazines asking for advice, other photographers, send them, you know, 5 or 10 of your favorite photos and be like, hey, what do you think of these ones? Just a quick, you know, constructive criticism. And then don't take it too heavy-heartedly, but just ask what they think you could do better, or, you know, and feel free to ask me as well if you want. Hit my DM.
Couple of last questions to finish us off. Just talking about like just skate photography and photography in general, really. If we start with you personally, what are some of your favorite images you've taken and why?
Probably my all-time favorite would be the Milton Martinez kickflip at the car wash when I was over in LA pre-COVID. It was like my first time shooting pro skaters, also first time being in LA, being in the States in general. So there was a lot of excitement from that. And then the photo I got out of it is probably the one I'm the most proud of. Other than that would be my friend, me and my friend Yolan, we shot our first cover together. It was my first cover and his first cover. And then just sharing that experience with him was pretty sick. Made our friendship closer, that's for sure. And seeing your photo on the front cover of a magazine is an experience like none other. So yeah, that's one of my favorites for sure.
It's a a bucket list.
Oh yeah, hugely.
I'm sure.
Yeah. It was cool to see my dad's face when I showed that to him. So yeah. Added to
that's
it
awesome.
Too.
Cool, man. Alrighty, last question. And so just talking about like skate photography in general now. We've talked about it a little bit, but what in your opinion makes a great skate photo? Not just like a good skate photo, what makes a great skate photo?
In my opinion, it comes down to the way that the skater does the trick, I think. That's what I really look for is like, some of my favorite photos are just like real simple, like favorite skate photos are just real simple, almost like flat ground skateboarding tricks. So, just doing a kickflip on flat. And if he does it, I'm sure you can imagine like a Bruce Lee ninja kick type kickflip. And just like on a nice clean wall or like if the lighting, I really enjoy looking at photos that have lots of rim lighting. There's a photographer called Oliver Barton, who's amazing with his rim lighting. He's a skateboard photographer as well. I drew a lot of inspiration from his photos too. But good lighting, good colors if it's in color, or if it's black and white, I like that real contrasty look. And then just the form and timing of the skate trick itself. All of those combined, and that's what I enjoy looking at.
Yeah.
Which tends to be most magazines these days.
I like that as an answer because it's not entirely you as the photographer.
Yeah.
It's partly like the skater, and that comes down to putting in, the time and the mahi to be there when they do the trick like that. I'm sure I'm sure you've been on hundreds of missions that, don't have that track, but when you get it, like that time when in LA with Milton, it's like you were there because of all the effort you put in leading up to it. So even if it's comes down to how the skater's doing the trick as to what makes a great skate photo, that it does come back to you in the sense that like you have to put in the time to be there at the right moment to click the shutter when they do it.
Yeah. I think my main thing going into it is I want to make them look as almost like as good as possible, as gnarly as possible. So I'll do anything.
As cool as possible.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'll do anything to make that happen.
Cool. Amazing, man. Well, I think it's a great place to finish. Kingsley, thank you.
Thank you.
For your time and for sharing your work and your story and stuff. We have links to all your work below. And man, it's cool to chat and hear about your work.
Hey, thank you. No stress. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, man. Alrighty. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.